A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We're cooling out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We're cooling out.
Yo, welcome back to Cooling Out. We are back again.
It's Kev.
It's Rel. We got a good friend. Second time. Returning guest.
This is twice.
My nigga Katayma, what's up, man?
West Coast Katayma.
Drake!
What's going on, guys?
Katayma. How's it going, bro?
He famous now.
No.
Yeah, took the red eye.
Trying to get
took the red eye to come see
it. Oh, fancy. I'm going to hop on that red eye. I'll be there in the morning.
Doesn't matter. I was on the back of the plane, right?
Does not matter.
Hugged up in the position against the window. This is crazy.
Nigga, we don't go too far off on a tangent, but these seats are getting smaller on them airplanes.
Yo, that ass.
Nigga knees be... I'm 5'10". Yeah. Max, nigga knees
it's
be...
It's rough, hurting. Yeah. Have them dangle in the aisle. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
They say, oh, you want space? Pay more. Nigga's got right, basic economy now. My. Premium economy. The way they broke it up.
You be walking past first class just angry. Dang, they look like they're having like the most comfortable, just beautiful time. And
by
shit
the time
like
you go to play, they already got drinks and shit.
Oh, my God.
And they just be looking up at you, peasant.
Yeah, they really do. You can see it in their eyes.
They really go to the back of
they give you them bummy ass sodas in the back.
Oh, man.
You take one sip past the can.
Yo, that's pretty much what it is, because they fill that shit to the brim with ice, man. Like, oh, you ain't slick. Give me the whole can. Like, oh, man. They violate on you.
But yeah, last time we spoke, man, you was living in Brooklyn. You was, mm-hmm. you was out here. Yeah. And then on that episode,
you said you were going to do a lot of things.
You said, yo, I'm thinking I want to move to L.A.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool. Just thinking, you know, just talking. I'm like, yo, all right, cool. L.A. is cool. I want to move to L.A. too. I think I said that.
Yeah.
I looked up like 3 weeks later. I started seeing the Los Angeles locations or the pics on IG. I was like, oh, okay, the nigga visited.
Yeah.
Then I hit you like a month later. I'm like, wait, you live there now? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, all right. Nigga lived in L.A.
Nigga thought I was taking like a month-long vacation.
Nigga got a lot of vacation time.
Nah. I felt like I had to do it. Like, you know, a lot of people say they're going to do something, and I always try to be that person that does what he said he's going to do. So I figured I'm young. I ain't got no kids. The risk is all on me. Mm. And for some reason, L.A.'s just been calling me forever. It's just always been like, go to L.A., go to L.A. And I'm glad I went out there, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah,
I did. I said what I was gonna do.
Yeah, I mean, even we're not gonna talk that into existence because it will work out. But you know, saying even at the end of the day, if you decide LA isn't where you want to be,
yeah,
at least you go forward knowing that you don't have any regrets.
Like yeah.
You tried it, you did it, you went out there.
Yeah.
But you know, we're gonna speak into existence that it will work out, and whatever you're out there looking for is gonna happen for you.
Yeah.
But just always that thought, like, damn, you know, that little nagging thought in the back of your brain where it's like, what if I would have went, or, you know, looking back on life?
I mean, to be all the way honest, that's one of the hardest things. Being out there is, like, you're constantly working in ambiguity. Mm-hmm. Like, you're constantly, like, because there's no blueprint written out. That's like, if you do this, do that. Mm-hmm. If you go to school, you get a degree, you get an internship, you'll get a job.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a format for that. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to create my own films. I'm trying to be in movies. I'm trying to act. I'm trying to just create my own product.
Mm.
The game has changed so much that there's really no blueprint. There's people who are in like Shiggy. I've been watching Shiggy forever.
Really?
And he did one video, and now I see him in movies and all this
other
stuff.
Yeah, he's a different guy now.
But then I see other, like, serious actors who have, like, 1,000 followers on their Instagram but are killing it in the movie game. So it's like you don't really know which path to go.
Yeah.
You just got to take that path and go.
So I'm assuming that most of it comes from social media and or networking.
Yeah. Networking is like a big thing out there. It's also really weird though, because like, I don't know, when you're from New York, you could kind of spot when people are full of shit. Mm. So, so as soon as you go out there and niggas is talking to you, you're just like, this nigga's full of shit. Like, because like,
how many roles you been promised?
I was about to say, I ain't sitting on nobody's couch yet.
Terry Crews ass nigga.
It ain't gonna be me. Several hands will be thrown. No, see, what people do out there is they gas shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll make it seem more than what it is. So they'll say some shit like, I'm a facility service manager. I'm like, you're a janitor, sir. That's perfectly fine. You have a job. There's nothing yeah. wrong with that. So, like, and, like, they'll talk to you just for the point of, like, trying to see what they can get from you.
Yeah.
But they're used to people, like, I'm like, you're used to people not being able to see through that shit. And I'm just like, but that makes it weird for me because I like authentic relationships.
Yeah.
Like, I like coming to this podcast because I fuck with y'all. Y'all are my guys. Y'all yeah. been my guys forever. And we have an authentic relationship. No matter, yeah. we don't have to talk every day. We don't got to see any of that. But at the end of the day, there's like something there.
Yeah.
And out there, it's like, it's hard to find that authentic relationship because everyone's out here trying to, you know,
yeah.
use you for another thing.
Yeah. I've been to LA a couple of times, and that's like the vibe I get from it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do you do? Like, that's what people always ask, like, first, like, what do you do? Like, who are you? Mm-hmm. They want to see like what they can get from you. And then when you ask them what they do, you can just tell like they're gassing it to the max. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I manage, you know, this hit. Somebody says, I don't put them on blast like that, but manage this hit artist.
Yeah.
I was like, hit artist? I'm looking at the dude. He got less followers than me. I'm like, how you?
That's crazy.
But I'm just like, yo, like the word, like people just throw words out there and, yeah. see, and throw things out there and see if they stick. And it's like, yo, this is BS. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, but then there's also, there's like, shitty award shows I've been to. Like, I've been to like one award show. I forgot what the name of it was. Mm. It got to the point where they was like, what's gonna happen next? Like, how bad it was.
Oh.
Like, people were forgetting lines. The audio clips that was supposed to be up was off. Like, it was just really, really bad.
Huh.
But people will use that award that they got from that award show and say, I'm an award winning musician. I'm like, I was at that award show. Might as well got a participation award, bro.
They ain't
like,
lying. They still got an award.
No, you're right.
Yeah, but that's the way you finesse it.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll make it seem bigger than what it is. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, because I network and meet a lot of people out there, and I was talking to this guy who's he's an actor on Amazon TV. It's a movie about steroids, like the use of steroids, and he like his movie got picked up. He's on Amazon.
That's dope.
And me and him were just having a conversation about how pretentious it feels to try and like gas yourself up. Because I still haven't called myself a film creator yet because I haven't made films, but that's what I'm out here for.
Yeah.
And he told me, he was like, yeah, it feels the same. But his brother told him, he was like, if you don't believe it, who's going to? And it's like, you gotta sell it. Like, you gotta believe in who you are, and you gotta work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wait, could we rewind a bit? When you were last on here, you set out a date, and you mentioned that date. You said it was the last day of school, and after that, I'm going to California. So I want to pick up when that date came from there until you got to California. What was that process like? Like,
you know, what's crazy? I didn't celebrate too hard because I was going to teach again in California. Okay. So I got a new teaching gig.
Mm.
They helped me move out there and everything too. They paid for it. They paid for my car to get shipped and all that.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, I don't work there anymore because them kids, Cali, bro, different.
So, like, you use them.
I mean, found
that's
an
subjective, yeah.
Found an opportunity, yeah. You know, ultimate opportunist. I don't understand. Like, you know,
that's it. We'll go with that.
No,
that's a harsh word.
So someone says, "Yo, we got a job for you in another state, and we're gonna help you move."
I'm just messing.
I'm a bad person.
I'm just messing. No, just,
you gotta take opportunity.
I mean, you know,
see your opportunist.
Yeah. Yeah. How much? I'll be there. Okay. How bad? At what part?
You booking
South Central?
Oh, you teaching in South Central?
South Central.
Oh,
see how serious that just got?
No wonder their tone changed. They get niggas from out of state. He's like, maybe it's a no South Central. We'll fly him out here.
Yo,
seen any rags?
I seen, yo, you know, it's on some shit. No exaggeration. The school, like, on the corners, mm-hmm. you would see prostitutes. What? So the kids would literally have, at like 9, 7 o'clock in the morning, you have to walk by the prostitutes. And, like, all those stereotypes that you saw, like, in the Boys in the Hood and stuff like that, like, you would think it's still 1989.
Shit.
It's crazy. Like, crazy, son. And then, like, the education system is not as, like, strong. Like, not as, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, rigorous. Sorry. It's not as rigorous as it is out here. Mm-hmm. So the kids' mindset is a lot different. I mean, New York as a whole is just very, you know, rigorous. Yeah. Out there, they really lax. So in New York, the kids, you worry about, like, you know, them talking back. Like, maybe a fight or something like that would happen.
What is the concern?
Yo, yeah, like, yeah. Out there, it's like, you thought, like, that was a good idea before you, like, some kids would just stand up in the middle of class and just start dancing for no reason. I said, we have a test right now. We have a test. Like, and you just get up and, like, he would, like, pretend like he's, like, shooting himself in the head. But, like, not like a not like a serious way, but, like, shoot himself in the head, just fall out in the middle of the floor. They would just walk out of class, like, just leave.
Anybody threaten you?
They go
bring their cousins and they
See, this is what happened.
It might be a good whatever they can say. You see what happened was
because yo, they would make a joke all the time. They would always say, whenever Mr. Stewart said, like, clap my hands like this, and said, "My man's, you no longer talking to Mr. Stewart. You're talking to Containment from Brooklyn." I already told you to sit down. So kids would swole up on me a couple of times because, you know, they've been in fifth grade for 17 years. So they
so they experience, you're saying?
Yo, they was they was swole up on me, like, open their chest. Yeah. One kid put hands on me.
Whoa! Yo,
one kid put hands on me, bro.
What's that he claim? That level of aggression and bravery?
One kid put hands on me, bro. Like, one kid was like, I forgot what he said. I mean, to his defense, like, I should have got, like, what was it? I should have got out of his way. I felt like I'm blaming myself. But, like, there was a situation where I allowed my ego and, like, anger to, like, I was like, yo, what do you, walk away from me when I'm talking to you, blah, 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 blah. And he just got mad and he just started throwing his hands. And, like, nothing happened. Like, there was no really, he got suspended for, like, the day, but, like, there was no real consequences. They, like, moved him.
Did he connect?
I mean.
That mean, yo.
Couple landed, bro.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yo, couple landed, bro.
You swing back?
How I tried my best not to.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you got, can't lose your job.
I mean, yeah. A couple of connected. They moved him to another class. And the thing that I noticed with him, and there was no remorse. Like, there was like, there was no, he didn't feel anything. It was just like, and he was in, because they switched him to another class, but I teach all three classes, so I'm going to see him anyway. They just moved him out of my homeroom. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see him all the time. I'm about to, it was on site, but
I was literally about to ask. So,
like, he was still acting up in class, and I took him outside. I said, yo, my man, you put hands on me, bro. I'm going to need you to relax because I need you to remember. That's always going to be the back of my head. And you know where I'm from. You're from the same place. And you know, you taught, if somebody put hands on you, so I'm going to need you to relax. And he relaxed a little bit, but, like, yo, this kids was different, bro.
Fifth grade.
Kids was different. Like, their names, I mean, my name's Katama. You understand? I don't talk about nobody's name. Maserati. Maserati, bro. I hope she never hears this.
We got to dream high.
No! You know what's the crazy thing? I thought it was a joke when I first heard it. I was calling her. I was like, she was acting up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, little girl, what's your name? She said, Maserati. I said, little girl, what's your name?
She must have looked around confused. Like, this nigga deaf.
She's like, you teach him?
Yeah, she was like, Maserati.
You the substitute?
Hey, yo. And I had to look at, like, one of the, you know, the smart, quiet kids. And she just gave it. That's her name. I was like, yo, that's crazy. Like, yo, the mentality that they had was just crazy. That was an extreme experience, bro.
How long did that last at the school?
I was there for, like, from July to, like, October.
Honorable.
Yeah. I was there for a good. What happened is some kid got crazy. One of the kids got crazy, tried to leave the classroom. I'm blocking him, so because there was a fight going on outside the classroom. He's trying to leave out. The classroom.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then pretty much they were just like, I'm not allowed to keep a kid. He said that I like roughed him up. I was like, I didn't. I was just trying to block him off. And he was like, you're not allowed. They pretty much said you're not allowed to keep a kid from leaving the classroom. So they like fired me. So I was like, oh, all right.
Damn.
I mean, listen.
I got to pay you. No? All right, damn.
But here. Make it work. You know what's crazy though? Like what I've noticed, like being in California and stuff like that. Because you're by yourself. I'm by myself. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't really know nobody. You have a lot of time to think. And I realize how the universe works. And, like, the universe really puts shit in front of you. Because if I would have never got fired, I would have never had that GoFundMe I had on Instagram.
Yeah.
Where I asked for 600 and got 1,000.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And then that week, another thing with the universe is, like, that week I had a performance, right? Where, you know, I'm just doing a poetry because, you know, I do spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
So before you do the performance, they ask for a bio. I mean, like, you know, a quick introduction who you are. So I said, I'm from Brooklyn. I host events back home. Moved to California so that eventually Issa Rae could be my best friend, right?
Yeah.
So I go to this coffee shop later that week. I get a weird text message. I don't say nobody's number. So I said, who's this? I said, Carol. Oh, that's Carol. This old lady says, my name's Carol, just out of nowhere. So she's talking to me. Talking to me, I'm explaining to her why I'm out here. She said, this is a great place to be. Like, celebrities come in this coffee shop all the time. Issa Rae, everybody. It's twice. So then she sat down, and I was with one of my friends. My friend was talking, and I just put my hand up. I said, I'm going to need you to stop talking right now. She said, what? She said, what? You know, she was from New York. She's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Like, I said, relax. Issa Rae just walked in.
Oh.
So Issa Rae just walks in the coffee shop, and I just freeze because Issa Rae's like, that's like my inspiration.
I saw that on IG. You like, should I talk to her?
Yeah. I was like, yo. And like, she just walks in and is just like, I didn't say anything to her because part of me, I just didn't want to approach her like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be a fan. I want to be like, oh, so you're Katayma.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And like, other people were walking up to her. She seemed like she was like annoyed, but really like still trying to be like nice.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's like, I just want to get my coffee.
Yeah, I just want to get my coffee and sit down. Like, you're Issa Rae in a black neighborhood. People are going to approach you. Like, yeah. It's gonna, like, you're going to. But she came and sat down and had her lunch. She had a lunch meeting. And I felt like I needed to see that because I was like real annoyed and everything and blah, blah, blah. And then that's when I did the GoFundMe and I was able to raise money. And I filmed like four shorts while I was out there. I'm just like working on getting them edited right now.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
How did what Ty Dolla $ign video were you in?
Oh, yes. I was in a Ty Dolla $ign.
I feel like that was like at least a month after, if less.
That was legit the first 2 weeks me being out.
Yeah,
there.
That was pretty quick. I seen like, a pic. I gotta go to LA.
Yo, I saw a pic of you out. Hiking and then the next one you in a music video dressed like an angel. I said, what the
heck?
This nigga in the choir just.
It's like a Tabor told me he ain't know nobody.
Yo, I was thinking.
You know, and you know, and the thing with that is too, when I was at Brooklyn College, they gave, we went to this tour to DKNY, right? And we met the CEO. And I asked the CEO, I was like, yo, what would you say is the key to your success? Mm-hmm. And he just said, be a good person. Like, just be a good person to people. And that came into fruition when I came out to L.A. Because as soon as I went out to L.A., there was just people trying to hook me up as soon as I got out there. Because they just, I mean, there's a couple of people that moved out there that I know from either St. John's or New York.
Yeah.
And they just know that, you know, I'm a good dude. I was good to them. So they were trying to hook me up with a bunch of different things. Ty Dolla $ign's video, I think that was just karma coming back to me at first. Because I'm not even going to lie, when I first got to the music video, I was a little suspicious because, you know, when you think of a rap video, you think of like bad women dancing, all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I'm seeing people dressed like me and all white, like they're going to church. I'm like, I don't think this is what it was advertised to be. And I wasn't too familiar with it's Mozzie's music. It was Mozzie is the rapper.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too familiar with his music like that. And then they take us up to this mansion. It's like the mansion is crazy.
Oh, that's
sorry.
Now you good.
They take us up to this mansion. The mansion, the view alone is like, this is crazy.
That's the side of LA I fucking love.
You understand? Like the view is crazy. Like, and the guy has the bathtub with that view. So he has like this like bathtub like this size with that view of the ocean. And Mozzie walks in. Mozzie's real cool. real cool dude. Ty Dolla Signs walked in, smelled like hella weed. Like, like he just like it's, like it was lotion. Like he sprayed it on before he came out.
Like it was lotion.
Yeah. The dude who played Tupac was there.
Ah, okay.
And it was real cool. Like it was just like we was there from I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning to like 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a 12-hour shift, but I was like, yo, I could do this all day. Yeah. I could be on set all day. I could talk. Because we had a good time. I was talking to the background people. I made some connections there.
Yeah.
Actually, the girl who's in one of the shorts that I'm doing now, I met her at that Mozzie music video. Me and her connected, and she was mad cool. And, mm-hmm. you know, we work on stuff together now. Like, so whatever you go, you got to make the most out of that opportunity.
Mm.
And that's one of those opportunities I was like, yo, I gotta meet as much people as I possibly can.
Shit.
But like shit just falls in my lap sometimes. Like no bullshit, shit just falls in my lap. Like I went to go see The Klansman, The Black Klansman.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal film. Phenomenal.
See, I went to go see The Black Klansman and I thought it was all right. I was like, it was cool. And I went with two of my friends and there was these two guys, this black guy and this like Indian dude in the Middle Eastern dude that was in the elevator, and they were talking about how phenomenal the movie was. And I was like,
"It was alright."
That's what I was thinking. I was like, "But I was like keeping it to myself." But mm-hmm. you know, I can't hide myself. I can't hide my facial expressions sometimes. And it was like, "Yo, so what'd you think of the movie?" And I was like, "It was alright." He's like, "It was alright." like he wrote it.
He was offended.
Yeah, like he wrote it.
You set us back 100,000 years.
Yeah, so he's like, so alright, like can you explain to me why you thought it was alright? And I was like, the character development, the plot, the this and blah 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 blah. And I was like explaining it from a film, because you know how me and you used to talk when you used to watch movies.
Yeah.
So we would break it down to like the core, and then he was like, yo, his boy was like, yo, are you in film? Like I was like, nah, that's what I'm out here for though. And he's like, well, I'm a movie producer. And now, you know, at first.
Yeah.
Oh, you shoot on your iPhone.
Yeah, I was like, okay. At first I was like, come on,
bro. You got to turn.
Come on, bro. Movie producer.
We ain't got to do this.
Yeah.
But, at your in-house studio.
So he said, yeah, that first movie that that was in the previews. I missed the previews. I came late to the movie. I think it was that Jonah Hill movie that just came out about skateboarding.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, I was the producer of that. I was like, word? So then I looked him up. I was like, that was him. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, I'm going to send you a bunch of scripts because I like the way you see things. So I'm going to send you some scripts and I want you to give me feedback. I said, I will watch them immediately. I went home and
reading. I will watch them.
Like taking notes on stuff. And I went on set and, yeah, met some cool people out there. The thing with LA is that you just got to stay consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to stay consistent because you got to constantly hit people up because they'll fall off. Another time I went out and I went out to my friend from Brooklyn was out there, and there's this thing on Tuesdays called Pum Pum Tuesdays. That's what it's called.
Pum Pum.
Pum Pum Tuesdays.
Pum Pum.
For people who are not well, never mind. But
it's just Google it. Yeah,
yeah, it's an obvious.
Can you know about this?
I know what.
Okay.
I know certain definitions in what he said.
Oh, okay.
So here's the thing. Out in California, the Caribbean population is very small.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are from the Caribbean, 9 times out of 10, they're like from Belize or something like that. So when you have an opportunity to go to a reggae party, mm-hmm. you jump on
you
it.
You go. Gotcha.
So that's what Pum Pum Tuesdays is. It's a reggae party. So my friend, she's like, she wanted to listen to some soca music, all this other stuff. So I go to Pum Pum Tuesdays, and it's kind of dead. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So we wait outside, and there's a goat. There's a random goat in the middle of the street.
What, a real goat?
Like a goat.
Niggas think they in Kings.
Not LeBron, nigga. An actual goat.
See a nigga come out. Get back in here with a knife.
And it was a dude. You
gotta curry that.
And this dude. Yo. That was legit my first thought. I was like, oh, it's real Pum Pum Tuesday out here. That goat is fresh.
You see a nigga running out.
With the machete.
Hey, get your ass back.
With the flip flops.
Gotta drag that by the horn.
So wait, there's a goat?
There's a legit goat.
California, just a random goat.
Oh my God.
There's a legit goat in the middle of the street. And I'm like, yo, this is, and it's a guy's goat. He's like walking around with a goat.
Yo. Yo.
So he's talking about it's a weird dog that he stole from someone else. I said, nigga, that's a goat. I know a goat when I see him.
It's a weird dog.
It's yeah, because, yo, I'm no bullshit. It's on my, like, I recorded it. I was like, because I say, yo, don't ever say New York is weird because this is a goat. And he's saying it's a weird dog. So he's saying, so he's, you know, has the goat. And my friend, there's people petting the goat because in California, niggas just love
animals.
Animals.
PETA heavy.
Love animals. Like, very animal friendly.
Yeah.
And somebody's petting the goat, and my friend is like, yo, isn't that the girl from Dear White People? I said, oh, shit. The Logan Brown, Logan, I forgot her last name.
Is she the main star?
Yeah, the main.
The main.
She was like, I said, oh, shit, that is her. So then she goes in a party. And I was like, well, we going to go in that party. Boom, boom, Tuesday ain't lit yet, so let's go in there. So we go in there. It's me and my friend. We the only black people in that entire party, right? So we stand out. So Logan comes up to us and just starts talking and having a random conversation with us. And I tried to take a picture with her, but she lightly curved it, which was a blessing in disguise because she just like started talking to me for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And was telling me about L.A., telling me about, you know, everyone says the same thing about L.A., find a click. You got to find a click. You got to find a click. And she was like, you know, if you want, we can, you know, before you get out of here, let's make sure we exchange numbers. I ain't never took my phone out that fast in my life.
I would have dropped it.
Took it out, gave me her number, but I texted her, but she never responded. Mm. You know, it's fine. I got her number though. Yeah. But she, yeah, I make random connections all the time, bro. I saw Daniel from Insecure in a Soulful spot. I just got a haircut and I walk in. I was like, Daniel. And I was like, and you know, he gave me some advice. You know, just follow the universal sort of shit.
Mm. Oh, he did. Cool. Oh,
nice. Yeah, I talked to him for a couple of minutes. I said, yo, I just saw Issa last week. Not last week. Like, I saw Issa like last month, maybe. And he was like, and I was like, yo, you got any advice for someone who's trying to make it? And he was like, obviously, the universe is setting itself up for you right now, so just keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, all right. Mm. Appreciate that.
What man. Neighborhoods you be hanging out
in? I was yo, just thinking that.
Nigga gonna, when I go visit, I'll be scouring. Nigga yo, just be walking all over the place.
I was in Inglewood. I was in Inglewood.
Oh, okay.
When I saw them. I was in Inglewood.
Inglewood safe?
Hmm?
Like, I asked the question.
Inglewood is like, it's kind of like Bed-Stuy. Like, you know how Bed-Stuy had like a rep back in the day, but it got gentrified?
Yeah.
Like, Inglewood is definitely starting to get gentrified. But there's some hood spots.
Oh, that's cool.
There's some parts where you like you hear my door lock really quickly.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, I ain't I'll a punk, but I ain't stupid. Yeah, and I ain't.
I'm going to go out there. When I visit, I'm going to, you know, make sure I put my location on Inglewood. Niggas going to think I'm tough. No. Not Los Angeles, Inglewood.
Yeah, be more specific.
Yeah, that's why I am.
Yeah, I mean, because where I live in Koreatown, mm-hmm. and like, you know, you could tell by the name, ain't too many black people over there. Mm-hmm. And so I just try to find where there's more of us. And so I'll go to Inglewood, or I'll go to like, I don't go to Compton, but I'll go to.
Yeah, don't take it that far.
Like Lamar Park.
King Draco.
Drake!
I don't know what he just said, but go ahead.
Yo, that interview, did you watch the whole thing?
I've watched about 30, it's 54 minutes. I watched the 40 minutes of it. I'm at the part where he's talking about Kanye.
Oh.
Nigga almost got fired today. Try to watch that. Like, watch the interview. When
in an inconspicuous way.
Bro, the part, though, when he was talking about when they broke into his house. But when he stood up and was like, yeah, they had my nigga. They tried to kidnap him. And he was backing up. And he was like, yeah, to shoot around them. I was like, this nigga's imagination.
Yo, I was like, what low budget black movie did he get that plot
King
from?
Soldier Part 2 coming out. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, yo, I can't wait to see that shit.
Yo, but in all honesty, he was kind of dropping facts for the most, like, especially when he was talking about he's the pioneer of
the
like,
internet and YouTube and all that
yo,
shit.
Yo, yep. He really, I said that a couple of years ago too, but I was like, yo, Soulja Boy really did start that. And people were laughing at him back in the day. Yep. They was telling him he's going to have 15 minutes of fame. Mm-hmm. And he's still relevant. I mean, kind of relevant now.
Yeah.
He was calling niggas out. Snoop Dogg, Ice-T, how they put out those videos shitting on him. I forgot about that. Well, not the Ice-T one. I forgot about Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg. I mean, they were talking about how he killed. I mean, he kind of did kill hip hop, but like he did. He's the pioneer. It's not like he's the pioneer of like the Rakims and the. Yeah. He's the pioneers of the little Uzi verse.
This new shit.
And, yeah, like the trash. So you kind of kill him. Yeah. Sure, I'll give you credit though. Like, you know, that whole Dance Grave, you did open that.
Yeah.
And, like, did you see his other interview with. What's his name? Academics?
Yeah, Everyday Struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was asking him all these crazy, stupid things. Like, why do you have so many businesses?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I forgot that girl's name.
Because I'm trying to be rich.
You see the way he responded to her, though?
Yo.
Nigga was offended that she asked him that. Bitch, I'm trying to be a fucking billionaire. That's why. Why don't you have so many businesses?
Yo. Yeah, that's next on my list, and I
got
to see that.
Yeah, no, he was dropping facts. It was like, he was talking about how, like, we jump real quick to hop on other people's brand, hop on the Asians, hop on the whites, but when a black man is talking about, yo, buy my business, you got 30 million questions for him. Now, Soulja Boy's a little, you know.
Some warranted, but I do agree with the gist of it.
Yeah,
so a video game
what's
console.
What's the console called?
I don't know what it's called. 800 video games, all licensed by Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can play Mario. I was like,
I'm a little suspicious.
Sound like some trademark issues.
But there copyright.
He said it's not. That's what he said on the Breakfast Club. He said it's all legit.
So there was some like, you know, some real reasons why you would be confused. But however, when she asked that question,
why do you have so many businesses?
Or like, you would never ask.
Yeah, that's foolish.
Like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah,
Elon
you would never
Musk
ask somebody
like
to have
that.
So many businesses. Like, they would ask you, "How can I get that?" Mm-hmm. Like, come on, son. Mm-hmm.
But even when I was watching the Breakfast Club interview, Charlamagne, when Soulja Boy was talking about like having the biggest comeback, Charlamagne kept saying, "Well, really, Tiger did because first and foremost, you're a musician." And I was like, "Why are you boxing him into that like that lane?" They said he's a musician only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's why Soulja Boy was trying to like say that, but he just wasn't, you know. He didn't do a good job of elocuting himself and saying it clearly. Like, look, like, I'm trying to tell you, I'm a businessman, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm not just a musician anymore. And that's what like Charlamagne was trying to do, like box him in. Like, Tiger had the biggest song of this year, and Soulja Boy was like, yeah, but I've done all this other stuff. I already had big songs. I'm like doing all this stuff now. I'm the first rapper to have a game system. All this stuff. But it was just like, yo, why are people trying to box him in like that?
Because I've always had a respect for people who are outside of that box, who are just more than what that is, because we try to keep people stagnant a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things I will say I like about LA is that they're way more free.
Mm.
Like, people in parties are terrible dancers. Like, for the most part, they're terrible.
Yeah.
But, like, you're getting gassed up a lot of the times. Like, yo, well, go ahead, do your thing, blah, blah, blah. I mean, New York is out here, like, you need to stop.
Yeah. This,
bro.
Yo, track. I'm roasting you. So, like, a lot of times we try to keep people stagnant.
Yeah.
And I have, like, a high respect for those who are more than, you know, that label people try to put them in. Like,
yeah.
When people try to say Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer of all time, no. That man is one of the greatest human beings that ever lived because he used his platform for so many different things. Same thing with, like, Kevin Hart. Or, like, you shouted out The Rock in a podcast before.
That definitely
sparked my ear because...
Bro, it came... Like, I was like... Go ahead, sorry, I didn't cut you.
No, I was just saying because The Rock is like...
Control yourself, nigga.
The Rock is like... He's more than... A wrestler. He's more than an actor. He is a business owner. He is a lot of different things.
He don't get enough credit.
He doesn't. Like, he really
doesn't get enough credit.
Like, and when you mention that, like, The Rock has a special place in my heart. He always will. I love wrestling. And The Rock is like, to me, I grew up idolizing Muhammad Ali. And for me, he was like the Ali of wrestling, not the activist and stuff like that. Like, Ali obviously had a bigger, but the being black and confident
and the impact
and the impact.
Bro, when his music used to drop,
yo,
and they just show the whole arena.
You lose your mind, bro. Because this man was so cool and confident. And he would always just, I'm going to do this, and he would do it.
Yep.
I'm going to do this for the people and blah, blah, blah. So, like, it was like watching Ali in modern time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, The Rock made a surprise appearance when I was at a wrestling event one time.
I would have lost my shit.
And, like, people forget just certain things because, like, there was this dude next to me. I just started shaking him. The Rock is here. The Rock is here. The Rock is here.
I would have lost my shit.
Yo, I went crazy. The Rock is here. The Rock is here. And then, like, after, after everything settled down, I was like, My bad, man. I didn't mean to shake you.
Damn, like that,
I didn't mean
bro.
To shake you like that.
Yeah, he was shaking baby syndrome.
You ain't deserve that, bro.
My bad. He was like, "It's cool. It's The Rock." Like that's literally what he said. So I love people. Will Smith is another person who's like, he's more than an actor. Like he's more like these are people who are outside of that box. And I think a lot of times when people try to break outside of a box, we don't. People with smaller minds don't understand.
Yeah.
Because even Charlamagne is more than a radio person. Of course. This man has two best-selling...
New York Times best-selling books
That's what
now.
I'm saying.
Yeah, that's often an indicator that you're moving in the right direction. If people don't really understand what you're doing.
Yo.
So, yo. So people love to, like, wait until you prove yourself before they jump on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if say, I don't know what that video game is going to sell or what that watch is going to... Soulja Boy, back Soulja Boy. But if, say that shit does blow up, everyone's going to be like, you see, this is why black entrepreneurship and da-da-da-da and just jump on the bandwagon. Whereas, you see the initial reactions. Mm-hmm. Why are you putting out a video game console?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never get that. I just want your business to be right. If your business right, get your money. Yeah. Like, yo. I don't understand.
Just initially, why don't sound right though. His business don't sound legit right.
Yeah, at first
his
he's like,
figures keep changing. So that's all I'm saying. Just get your, bro, I hope your business right.
Did he own a Subway like a couple of months ago?
Bro,
look.
In the interview, his numbers changed so much. First, he just made $250,000 yesterday. Then it was $500,000.
$213,000. I'm like,
what that say, MB? What that say? $232,000.
That's not what it's supposed to say. Actually,
he said, wait, what? Then Charlamagne said, "This is a Google image." It's like, yo,
you violated. Yo. But it's Soulja. I mean, he's he's a recent example of black entrepreneurship and stuff like that. And like, what he was saying was hard, just facts. It's like we do question our own, and we do sometimes lack in supporting. But me, I always just watch the character, or I watch like what your work ethic is and what you're trying to do. Like I fuck with Soulja Boy because he was able to take that and make a couple of million dollars out of it.
More than a couple.
You understand what I'm saying? Like he was making so that's
at 17 years old.
This is not a stupid person.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you look crazy. Yeah. A little off. Different.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. But not stupid.
But he's not a stupid person. And I think that's a big, like, I think that's what you said is like people like to jump on when they know you on, but like sometimes you just got to watch who a person is.
Mm-hmm.
Not particularly what they're saying, but who they are.
But also, like, follow up, like what you said about him not being stupid. That was, what, 17? That was, I don't know how many years ago that was. That's when I was in middle school,
it's like
high school.
07, 08?
Yeah, it was a minute ago.
It's like 12 years ago.
And for him to even still be semi-relevant, I mean, I don't know his financial situation, but I don't think he's broke, you know? He can't be stupid.
I think it was like 30 million.
Yeah, net worth. You can't be stupid because stupid niggas go broke. like, doing stupid shit. I mean, so he knows how to, like, you know, keep himself in the spotlight enough. To where he can remain relevant and make his money. He's doing shit at VH1, all that. People still care. People still tune in.
And then, like, when he was talking to... another thing is that I think people can't see your vision. They can't see... Like, your vision is your vision.
Yeah.
And I talked about this, like, on an Instagram story one time because it was after the death of SpongeBob, the creative SpongeBob.
Yeah.
So, like, the same... I saw a similarity between Soulja Boy and, like, that SpongeBob creative because Soulja Boy... People saw a new dance. Or people just saw like a stupid dance. Soulja Boy saw my opportunity.
Yep.
He saw that vision of it being huge. Some people saw a sponge and a pineapple under the sea. The creator saw SpongeBob SquarePants. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times people don't see your vision. They can't understand your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they're trying to be helpful, they're trying to keep you stagnant. But you know, you gotta believe in your own self.
That's crazy. So I feel like I'm not taking enough risk.
I know.
Everyone's been like, oh, you're doing the right thing. Am I? Never too many niggas pat me on the back. I'm doing something.
I mean, you got to also, because I do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll say I don't feel like I'm taking enough risk. I'm like, nigga, you moved across the country. Like, people are like,
you took a risk.
Across the country.
You said I'm moving 3 weeks later. So that Cali sun on your face.
I'm here. Like, I moved across the country. I'm, like, out here, like, putting my stuff out there. I'm taking risks, but I don't see them as risks. I just see it as me doing what I'm supposed to do. So, like, I think you guys are doing a podcast. Like, and, like, you are staying consistent with the podcast. That's a risk. Like, you could be using time for other stuff. Like, acknowledge what you are doing, too. Acknowledge your accomplishment. Because you're doing good shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's another job, thing. Half the things I done said on this goddamn podcast.
Yeah, I take a lot for granted. Day. I do take a lot for granted. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm. You know, it's easier said than done because I'm terrible at doing that.
Yeah,
I'm terrible like acknowledging my accomplishments or something like that.
Because when you keep looking ahead, yeah, you got.
I don't see anything
eyes
else.
On the goal. Yeah,
yeah. I don't see because like you know it's January and. People think about their last year, like, you know, what they was able to accomplish. And for a second, I was like, I didn't do anything. And then I realized, like, I did everything. Like,
yeah,
I, did,
yeah.
I actually did a lot. Like, I moved to California. I was teaching. I was doing, I wrote some stuff for my kids. I released a short film. Like, I did a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of stuff. Hosted Sippin' Paints, my own open mics. Like, I did a lot of different things. And sometimes you just got to take that time to just acknowledge your accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's not particularly staying stagnant in it, but it's just like, okay, now what's next? Yeah. So, because like I did a video for my year because I need to know what I'm going to top next year. Every year I try to top. Like every year I'm like, all right, I moved to California. All right, now what's next? Maybe I'm in a movie or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because you said before, like you're not into New Year's resolutions or something like that.
Yeah,
no. I think New Year's resolutions is corny if you're not consistent. If you consistently made New Year's resolutions mm-hmm. and you consistently not do nothing,
mm-hmm.
then stop running your mouth.
Yeah.
But if you have a New Year's resolution and you're making a plan, yeah. something that you're striving for, I could like it's like setting little bricks to eventually build a brick wall. So that at the end of 2019, now you got this wall, and now you know what you're going to do for 2020 and shit like that.
Yeah. I just don't believe in waiting until December 31st to focus on, like, what you're going to do for the next year. Like, my mind's always, like, thinking about shit I want to do in 2020, 2021 right now. Like, that's, mm-hmm. like, where I'm like, all right, I want to be here. I want to accomplish this by this time. So by the time the new year comes, it's not like I'm really, like, have a resolution. It's more like, all right, sit back, breathe, refocus.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, retool yourself to be ready for what you want to accomplish this year.
But I think
that's what I was trying to say.
No, I get you. But I also think that if you wait until January 1st to do something, you full of shit. Like, you like if you like, oh, that new year come because you are.
Every year people say
that. Yeah, because if you were waiting to January 1st, then you just selling into this fairy tale of what you think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not actually putting in the work. Like, if you want to make stuff happen in 2019, you should be doing stuff in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a summer body. In June, when you started working out in May,
yeah,
like that doesn't make sense.
Clocking in
on your treadmill, yeah, in your building.
when I can get, it's only one down there.
I will say I do hate the gym. The first 2 weeks of January,
oh, it's fucking disgusting.
It's ridiculous. I have never seen so many new faces in my life.
Yeah, they'll die off.
I hope so.
They all just like towards the end of this month, you'll stop seeing them.
Yo, the gym be packed.
Mm-hmm.
Like my gym is always packed, but it be.
Yeah, New Year's resolutions. I'm going to get in shape.
It's ridiculous.
That's like the most common New Year's resolution. I'm going to get in shape.
And you try to calmly, like, you know, fight for room in the mirror. Because, you know, you want to look at yourself while you're working out.
Of course.
You try to, like, you know, move over a little bit. But the other person is, you know, working out in front of you. Now you want to square up. But you particularly can't because, you know, it's a little pretentious.
Oh, man. What's something I wanted to ask you?
Well, you mentioned Cali might not be. You were talking off mic about Cali and some of the things you don't really like.
Good one.
Okay. Yes. It's been 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and my experience in California has been very weird. I don't particularly like it.
Mm.
I think some of it is me being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also just, it's a really severe culture shock for me.
Mm.
So, one, I'm used to growing up around Black Caribbean people. Ain't too many Black people, period, in California, much less Black Caribbean people. The food is really different. You know, they say, oh, we do have oxtails out here. Nigga, that's not an oxtail. What you presented to me is trash.
What you presented to me.
And I heard niggas get struck by lightning for saying shit like this. The food is really different. The people are different. The people gas stuff up. They're really fake, really phony a lot mm-hmm. of the times. And like when you meet natives from California, they'll tell you that's not us. That's the transplants that come over here. That's people who moved from... other states to find themselves, so they have like this facade,
mm-hmm.
and then like, you know, then I'll meet people from California. I'm like, well, you kind of got a facade too, brother. Yeah. So I don't know what's going on. But the culture is really different. It's really slower. Very, very slow pace.
Is that something you prefer or are you?
No. No, because, like, I'm hungry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm like, trying to move. I'm trying to, like, yo, get out. Like, the fact that they wait until the stop, like, the sign says to walk before they walk. Like, there'll be no cars coming. Like, none. Mm-hmm. And they'll just sit there and chill. And, like, then the thing will come, and I'm, like, walking across the street, and everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. Yeah. And I was like, there's no cars coming. But, like, there's like, this hunger that I have, and I'm just like, yo, I'm trying to get out here. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to do what I got to do. The black community is different out there, too. Brothers ain't checking for sisters at all. Like, if there's a thing where you, like, you know, you date someone who's not a real, you know, people don't think as strenuous about races like I do or something like that. You just see a person, like, yeah, you fall in love. Yeah. But it's a conscious thing out there where they're no sisters. They're like, they'll be like 20 sisters. And like, you ever seen
like, don't be a menace?
Yeah. He's like, oh, excuse me.
My black new big queen. Can you tap that white girl?
Yo, that's what it is out there. Like, they not checking for sisters at all. Like, not even a little bit. And then now the sisters is not checking for, you know, black men or something like that. And it's someone described it perfectly. It's like, it's such a severe melting pot in California that there's no sense of, like, your own culture. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's just, like, trying to mesh and get along and all this other stuff. I'm like, nah, like, you know, be proud of who you are. Yeah. Like, be proud of, you know, you from the Middle East. All right, that's cool. You from Mexico. Like, the Mexicans are proud as hell. Like, I'll give them that. They'll tell you about Mexico.
They rap?
They rap hard, bro. They rap hard. But other people, I'm like, yo, be proud of, you know, where you came from. And like, they'll look at me and I'm talking. I got my little Malcolm X glasses. And they're like, oh, boy, I don't want to hear that today. I was like, but it's real. So they're like, it's real. So for me, it's just like, it's different. It's just really, really different. I'm trying to get accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to meet some, you know, make some friends. I got a couple of friends out there. Mm-hmm. A couple of people I'm cool with. But for the most part, it's just, it ain't for me so far. But yeah. But one of the things that keeps me sane, I guess, is me being focused on why I came out there in the first place.
Yeah.
So I ain't come out here to make friends.
Yeah.
I didn't come out here to, you know, bathe in the sun and all this other stuff. I came out here to work. And I came out here to build opportunities in California so I could bring them back to New York one day. Mm. So, you know, that's what keeps me focused.
So, like, for like you've been in New York your entire life, right?
27 years.
Sheesh.
Brooklyn, baby.
And you see how, like, it's so easy to get around New York City. And, like, New York City's not that big, whereas LA is very spread out.
Yes.
Like, very spread out.
Yes.
So, like, does that make it, like, more difficult for you to, like, network with people and get to know people in other areas? Because, like, from my understanding, my limited times going out there, it was like, yo, we live here. We not going all the way over there. That's just too far to go hang out or go have a party or whatever, go meet people. Like, how does that work out for you?
I mean, it's in California, it's all about location. So I live in Koreatown. Koreatown is pretty much central to everything. So, like, Hollywood is, like, 15 minutes away. I work at a law firm right now, and it's, like, 10-minute bus ride, which the bus is something different, bro.
This ain't New York City.
Nigga! The bus
trash?
Garbage. Because it's so cheap. So everyone gets on the bus, everyone meeting homeless people. So it, like, so it smells terrible on the bus. And, like, they have less street lights. So you pretty much got to guess when you get off. Because like, the bus driver ain't announcing it, bro. You better press stop request. Because if you don't press stop request, guess you in fucking San Diego now. Like, the bus is different. But look, where I live, it's central to everything. So whenever there's a party, 9 times out of 10 is 15 minutes from me. Or if there's a networking event, 9 times out of 10 is right there. It's like around it. But where, like, black people live, I'm probably like 20-30 minutes from there. So, like, most of the time when I go to parties and stuff like that, it's usually very, 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 very mixed. Like, very, very just, like, you know, white, Latino, black. Yeah. Like, and I'm so used to just being around, you know, black people.
Yeah.
That's probably, like, the hardest thing. Like, if I want to network with more people that look like me. However, that's one of the things I'm trying not to do anymore, because it's like, it kind of just keeps me in a box a lot of the times. Because I'll go to networking events, I'm like, all right, where the niggas at? Like, I'm just like, where the black people? Where the black people? All right, who? And I just go to them and start talking to them. But, like, there's other people and other opportunities that, like, I'm trying to branch out to. So, for the most part, location is key, though.
Gotcha.
Location is ideal.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Any horrendous traffic stories?
No, I haven't had horrendous. See, the thing is, I have
wood.
I haven't had real bad stories because when I was working as a teacher, I had to be at work at 7 o'clock, so everyone was asleep. So I was already on my way. Like I beat that traffic, and I get out at 4. So it's like traffic is following me as I go home. So I didn't really. And then now, I take the bus to work because there's no. It's like working in the city, you don't drive to the city.
Yeah.
So it's like there's no parking. So I'll take the bus. So I don't have bad traffic stories like that, but I'll hear other people and I'll see people's stories. I'm like, oh, that's crazy.
Damn.
My commute's about 10 minutes, but that's crazy, bro.
My cousin used to live in Studio City, and we were going to a Clippers game, got in an Uber, go downtown from Studio City, 2 hours.
That's crazy. Crazy.
2 hours. And I'm sitting like the sports car, smallest fucking sports car, a nigga knees is like this. And he like zipping through traffic. Like any little space open up, he's zipping over. I'm like, I'm in the front, like, nigga. We ain't got I'm good. I'm good.
We're not going anywhere.
I told my cousin, we should take the subway, nigga. What the fuck?
Yo, for real. But I live right there next to Staples Center.
Oh. And I excuse me.
It's noted.
This nigga brand new.
It sounds better than what it actually is. It's not.
I've been down. Was that LA Live around there?
I think so.
That's downtown, right?
I live like a 15-minute walk from downtown. It's not that. It's not that far.
Downtown LA didn't really impress me.
It didn't. I was there like last year, the year before.
Yeah. As it should.
It's really.
Yeah. It should not. It should not impress you.
I was like, this is it.
This is it.
It's down. Look dirty.
Seven buildings. I didn't take my
cousin. Yeah, that's what it is. Like
taking a Santa Monica. You needed to see better than this.
You deserve better.
Can't just be the hotel in this.
No, downtown LA is like, it's very just like, oh, okay. Yeah. But then again, it's like we're from New York. Like
that's what it is. I was like, oh,
you're from New York, so like New York is like everywhere.
I expect downtown to be buildings and people walking around. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Like,
downtown LA is like,
oh, this is your city. Is this your city?
The homeless population out there is
wild.
Crazy.
Yeah, anytime I go to Cal, like San Francisco,
anywhere,
LA, anywhere, yeah, it's like
crazy. Damn. Like. They have full-blown tents.
Tents, yeah.
Studio apartments on the corner.
Brooklyn getting like that.
It is?
I got my apartment's here. the block ups, the Chinese restaurant, nigga got a tent on the other side. A tent, full blown tent. Nice tent, though.
It's quality. Quality. Don't knock tent. It now. Don't knock it, nigga.
Don't knock the tent.
Don't nah, knock it now.
Nah, if you hit it, it ain't gonna fall over. It's like a nice quality sturdy tent. I don't know what he got.
You know what? You know what's crazy? This nigga tried to knock down the tent. That's all,
no,
you know.
Saying, like, I just don't know where he got it from. It's like, oh, it's just 30. Nice little tent here.
Don't bend, and then, don't break.
Then on the other side, yo, chill. Lord, forgive me. But then on the other side of me, there's another nigga with a tent, also shopping cart and all. And I'm like, in Brooklyn. I live in Bed-Stuy.
Oh,
tent. I'm like, yo, it's crazy. Like, I'm seeing more and more homeless people in Brooklyn now. Like, I feel like I live in the city.
So the reason why I find that surprising is because LA is probably the best place to be homeless. Because, of course, you know, the weather doesn't get too extreme. I mean, it's been cold this week, but like, you know.
What's cold? I have to.
Hey, listen, bro. It's like, 50 degrees. It's been. Huh?
It was the high. I saw 63 the other day.
Has it changed you? Your lower 40? Has that.
Listen, he doesn't. It was about 50 degrees. Oh. I was like, it's a little brisk out here. It's a little, you know.
I ain't gonna lie though.
Notice I didn't say brick. I said brisk.
That weather does drop though. Like, I went out there. Was it October last year?
I need numbers.
Was like, nah, it was like 70 in a day. So I'm out there trying to be. I got a blazer on, nigga, thinking I'm fly, neck all out. It dropped to like 50 at night. That's a different 50, though.
Yo, that 50.
Used to the, I'm like, shit.
Oh, that's 50-50.
I'm
scared,
yeah,
bro.
I'm out there in the line trying to be chewing shit like, ah. Brick.
No, it was probably like 30.
It dropped to 30?
It was like 40 degrees. Yeah, it got pretty cold. That's cool. But for the most
part. It's going to be 4 here on Sunday.
You said, when are you leaving?
4.
Yeah, I leave on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be 4 here Sunday night.
Yeah, in the Monday, 4 single digits.
Yeah, I figured
Monday's high gonna be 9.
That don't make
that's
sense.
Tough.
That's not a high.
That is a tough. Yeah.
I'm being the crib with the heat on. Nah,
oh,
I hope you don't got plans.
I got Con Ed bills, nigga. It's gonna be on bleh.
Yo, that's one thing that I had to get used to is central air. Cause I never had central air before.
Oh,
so
you're a
like
real New York nigga.
Yeah. So like,
they got the AC in the window.
AC, you rich.
They got the fans.
We had cold showers.
The AC, and the you fan. Rich.
So you take a cold shower and then you not dry off or nothing. You just get in that fan, and that time that you have to dry off is your time to fall asleep. If you don't fall asleep within that time, tough.
I'm bougie now. I got central air, but yes. I remember when I was in Astoria though, and I had to make it through the summers. You crack a window, you turn on a fan, and you just let go and let God.
You, have cool
you just tough it out. Yeah,
yeah. My roommate when
nah,
he was
the South changed me. Go ahead.
My roommate,
like the guy had central air for as long as I can remember. Now.
My roommate would have because he was from Atlanta. My roommate's from Atlanta, and he would have the central. Or I would come home from work, and I would hear the central air on. I'm like,
we still splitting this 50-50?
Nigga.
You could do whatever.
Have you lost your dad? Entire? I don't.
Bro.
I'm pussy? Like, when you turn this off. Turn this off. Because I'm just confused. But he explained it to me and, like, how. He didn't really explain it. But he was just like, no, it's fine. It's cool, bro. I was like, all right, just pay your portion. Because, you know, open that window. There's some cool air that's going to come in.
Like, I promise, like, I treat, like, Con Edison like my mom used to treat when I was young. Cut that goddamn light off. I'm like, yo, why are these goddamn lights on? So I walk
out. Oh, that's a fact.
My girl be having every fucking light on. I walk out, cut. What are we doing in here?
You got a friend in here I don't know about?
Man, when the last time you was in the bathroom?
You ever seen progressive commercials where you turn into your parents?
Yo.
I go to my mom's house. I'm like, what y'all doing here? Like these damn kids.
Yo,
somebody gotta look out.
I gotta
I'm doing it.
Walking around with a robe on. Like I'm rich.
Nigga. My mom be going to sleep at my mom's house, be going to sleep with the TV on. I'm like,
yo,
when y'all do this? When I was young, I used to get my ass beat. Yo. I'm cutting TVs off, lights on all the place. Y'all niggas don't care about money.
Yeah. But people come in my apartment, they be like, yo, you take this Batman shit a little too far because all the lights is always off and shit. Like, I don't. Mm-mm.
Nah, I can see.
I know where it is. Straight Bird Box the entire time.
I'm going to say $50 this month.
No lights come on unless it's necessary.
That's a fact.
Roll the blinds up.
And then in LA, they do Con Ed. Instead of monthly, it's every 2 months.
Oh.
Yeah, so they charge you every 2 months.
Get you, they get you tripped up. Yo. I get tripped up.
Man, you got a budget for real.
Yep.
You think you got extra money
and
in
then
your
it
account.
Comes. Like, Oh, I definitely get jammed.
Let me put something on it.
Candle lit. Like it's, that's what you got. And also, you don't get refrigerators. So for some,
they don't
like,
give
sorry,
you.
Come again,
my man. So, refrigerator is not like a thing. Like some apartments come without refrigerators. So like the apartment I'm in now, I went with my boy Dre because he was out there visiting, and I'm walking through the kitchen. I'm like, yo, there's so much extra space in here. Because cognitively, I'm thinking that there's already a refrigerator here. Like, yeah. I'm not.
It's a big kitchen. You
know? I'm like, yo, there's so much extra room for activities. Like, I'm just like, it's lit. And
for activities.
So I move in and I go to Target and I'm like,
came home with the milk.
I came home with milk. And it was like, hold on, wait, I don't got a fridge. So I sent the email to the building manager, and I was like, yo, so, you know, when is the fridge going to come? Because I'm thinking it's in storage or something like that.
You got an ice pack.
Yeah, I'm like, it's, he's like, he says, oh, we don't get fridges. I mean, we don't, you know, you got it doesn't come with the apartment. I said, come again? I said, what do you mean?
That's
a refrigerator?
So wait, when you
there's move, a toilet here, there's an oven. Like, what is it?
So wait, you had to buy a refrigerator.
You had to buy a refrigerator.
When you move, you take that fridge with you to the next spot.
You took you bought a mini one, or a whole.
First of all, I bought a whole fridge.
Okay.
Second of all, that shit's going with me forever. Like,
yeah, he's not benefiting.
What if you move somewhere where they have a fridge? What you gonna do?
So, I mean, I plan on staying there for a little while.
That's
and my
wild,
roommate,
though.
My roommate split it. So like he bought his part, I bought my part. He's like, someone asked me that too when I was first getting fridge, because this was like a thing when I was at work. I was like, yo, I gotta get a fridge. And he was like, so are you gonna ask your roommate for half? And again, I was like, I'm pussy. Like, of course,
of course. Nigga, your milk going in there?
Yeah,
that roommate, yeah, gonna use it. Yo. This is easy. This is quite simple.
Yo, what kind of stupid ass question?
Simple equation.
Like, yeah. Yo, like it's like, yeah, like he's gonna give me the half.
He's gonna
like,
lay his food by the fridge.
That's what I'm saying. Like he's a.
I wouldn't even know where to go to buy a refrigerator.
I went to like Sears or whatever.
Wow.
And they came and shipped it.
Like, I've been on Amazon for the mini ones.
Yo, yeah, we
would have one of them college dorm ones. You keep one in your bedroom. I got mine in my bedroom. That's it.
Small ass freezer. Slide a bottle of water.
You're gonna keep like two fucking frozen things.
That's
in
it. Oh my god!
Nah, my roommate's real cool. Though. I just like you know, he's a real cool. He's a really really cool dude. Young black kid from Atlanta.
Cool,
real real cool dude. But I was like,
that's crucial.
And then another thing out there is that they charge like the every time I would go to like the cashier to buy stuff, and they're like, are you gonna get bags today? And
charge
I'm like,
for bags.
Sometimes I'm like, of course I'm gonna get bags. Like, what do you want me to juggle this? It's not gonna make sense. I'm like, why do you keep asking me that question? She's like, oh, we charge for bags. Like, it's a thing. Everyone charges for bags in LA because you know they're very
Earth Day ass.
Earth, business. Yeah. What the fuck?
Did you buy some reusable bags?
No, I just keep. I'm a black man. You know, we keep bags in a cabinet.
They can bring the plastic bags back.
Flap it out, or a wrinkle and shit. Put that in there, bro. Never again. You got me once. 10 cents per bag. I'm gonna
keep these.
Fool me once. 10 cents per bag.
Yeah, 10 cents.
You double up. That's 20 each bag. Niggas is tripping.
It's different. It's very very different. They love dogs out there. Love dogs.
Be licking love them in the mouth.
Huh?
Be licking them in the
licking
mouth.
Licking their mouth. They not on leashes, son.
Getting them tongue.
It's different. Because it's different. Like, because, you know, I love going to Runyon. It's
Canyon?
Like this, like, yeah, I love Runyon Canyon. I love going to Runyon. It's like this, like, kind of like mountain thing that you hike up and all that. And they be having their dogs, like, off leashes running up to me like I'm friendly. I'm not that friendly. Like, keep your dog from around me.
They smelling that California on you. They say, oh, he's safe.
Nah, chill.
Look at them with that Brooklyn.
Yo, when people find out I'm from Brooklyn, oh my God. It's like, I guess when a British person comes to America, they try their best British accent. They try their best Brooklyn accents, and it's the most annoying thing.
What the hell does
dead ass B. You getting me tight.
How were they talking previously, though?
Huh?
How are we talking?
No, they're talking regular. But then, like, oh, I mean, you know, everyone has accents. Like, yeah, we have accents. I realize that we have an
accent. Throwing the dead ass being a crazy accent.
Yo, like, I didn't realize how strong our accents are.
Until you leave.
Until I leave. Because I'm like, I'm in California. I'm on FaceTime with one of my friends. And she's like, what are you calling me for? And then the person is like, it's call. Like, so, like, whatever they hear, I'm from New York. Oh my god, yo, dead ass
word B,
yo, you getting me tight, son? Like, that's exactly how they say it.
Where can I put this?
Don't, Lord, don't let me have no Tim's on. Oh, he got them all fresh out the box. Fuck you. Went with my outfit, nigga. I will say that girls like. You're from, like, once you say you're from Brooklyn all the time, they're like, oh. You say dead ass like three times, it's like a it's like the candy man. It's just, you know, oh. Like, it's dating out there is very different too. There, I'm, because I grew up like with New York women. Mm-hmm. So, like, New York women, they view New York women as hella aggressive out there. Like, the women are like, that's how they talk to you? They talk. Like, they'll hear my friend talking to me, and she'll call me a bitch like five times. You shouldn't call me a bitch, but we're cool. It's like, yeah, you shut up, bitch. I'm like, oh, I really don't like that, but, you know, she's from New York. I can't really. And then they're like, that's how they talk to you? Blah, 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 blah. They're way more catering. That's the best way to say it without trying to sound like offensive. Like, they want to cook. I've never had this many people ask to cook. I was like, what? This a thing? Dang, girl. Hook me up. It's like, no, I've never had that many people ask to cook. They want to do this and that. There's just a whole bunch of extra stuff that, you know, can't say without getting it.
Yeah,
I'm sure. We're going to cut that off now.
We'll talk about that more after. But no, it's LA is a very, very, very different experience for me.
So let's talk about before we get out. Let's talk about your upcoming. You say you did four shorts.
Yes.
So talk about those a little.
So when there's
you plan to release those, all that good stuff.
So there's a bunch of shorts. Thank you for reminding me. It's a bunch of things I'm having. There's a bunch of things I'm trying to do this year. Period. So the shorts, I have The Loudest Noise. It's about. We're just pretty much watching this girl's journey through the day as she deals with, like, a mental issue and how she tries to drown out that, trying to drown out the symptoms of it. And pretty much whether she wins that battle in the end or not. Like, that's just literally what it is. So that's The Loudest Noise. Mental health is something that's always been really important to me, especially in the Black community, because, you know, most of the time we just try to pray it away or something like that. So I want to bring more attention to that because we, you know, a lot of times we need help. Another short I have is Feet Ain't Tired. That's the name of it. It sounds like a Tyler Perry movie, but it's not. It's very far from it. But it's pretty much two people having an intense conversation of about integration, whether integration was a good idea or not. Like, whether we have it's pretty much, so it's Malcolm and Martin. I wrote them having a conversation. If they were to have a conversation today about integration, because, you know, Martin wanted us to integrate, Malcolm wanted us to separate. What would that sound like? What would that conversation sound like? Was it meaningful? You know, did we accomplish those things that we wanted to accomplish? The purpose of that was, I never liked the depiction of Martin Luther King, and I never liked the depiction of Malcolm X. I don't like this, like, angelic view of Martin Luther King. Because he wasn't like, he was a human, and he was a human being who tried to do these things. And I never liked this, like, demonizing Malcolm just loved his people and loved us so much that he just couldn't understand why you can't see his side. And they both had the same goal. They both wanted equality. They just had two different ways. So I just, like, wrote up a script, just a conversation between them. What it would sound like.
That sounds really.
And that was one of the things where I had the two actors that I picked. One looks like Martin, but didn't sound like Martin. And the other guy doesn't look like Malcolm, but sounds exactly like Malcolm. And I told them and gave them that feedback, and they worked their ass off. Like, I really. They worked hard to build that character so that when we were filming it, they were, they were really into it. They were really like, yo, we believe in this because this is such a just crucial conversation that no one really has. Mm. And the guy who played Martin, Terrence, he studied Martin over and over and over again. He's watched his rhetoric. He watched his mannerisms and everything so that he can master it when he's out there. Mm. And Michael is just, he's just real good at doing impressions. And he is spot on Malcolm. Mm-hmm. And so when we were filming, it was just like this energy that would come out. And I realized, like, yo, I love directing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, because Martin wasn't doing the line right. So there was a line where, you know, if we're having a conversation, I'm cutting you off.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to anticipate the cutoff. It's supposed to, like, I'm supposed to catch you. And he wasn't doing it. And I was like, come on, man, you got it. Like, I'm going to talk to you like, you know, regular. I'm just going to talk, yo, come on, man, you got this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, stop thinking about it. Just do it. And he did it. And he killed it. Like, he, it was intense. And I was just watching, and I let the emotion seep. And I said, cut. And I said, let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. Punched him in the chest like 3 times. That's what you're supposed to do, nigga. Keep that same energy. So, like, and I was just really passionate about it because it's just, it's a very important conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, I have my views, and I did my best to make sure that my views didn't overshadow the other person's views. I don't want the audience member to know what my view is. I want two people to have an honest conversation, present their information, present their facts, mm-hmm. and then that's it. And so that's Feet Ain't Tired. And then I have the Ebony Project that I filmed. That's a poem that I wrote like a long time ago. So my goal is to start bringing my poems to life.
Mm.
So Ebony is a poem that I wrote a long time ago where I was working as a high school counselor at my old high school, and I would hear how little black girls would talk about themselves. So I wrote a poem about what I think a black woman sees when they look in the mirror. So and I took that poem, turned Ebony into a character. So now Ebony is a character. We filmed that. We got to get that edited. And then there's another poem called Courtney, which I think is really relevant, especially with, after that R. Kelly thing, because it talks about a guy who's addicted to sex, and his addiction comes from being exposed to sex at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And it's really different because R. Kelly and the Surviving R. Kelly, and I heard you guys talk about that. And the Surviving R. Kelly, it was brought up that he was molested at a young age mm-hmm. by an older woman. And a lot of times in our society, we don't view it the same. Mm-hmm. We don't view, like, you know, an older woman doing that to
a young boy
as wrong. And, like, it is. Mm-hmm. And not only is it wrong, 9 times out of 10, those boys show the same symptoms as those girls.
Mm-hmm.
Either they're highly promiscuous or they're highly, like, introverted or something like that. So I wanted to bring that to light, too, and I turned Courtney into another character. So those are the things that I'm working on.
Mm.
And the other shorts that I did was, like, so I did this open mic called Soulful of Noise. It's one of the dopest things I've ever seen in my life. They come in and they kill it. I met my boy A-Game out there. He's a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I met some cool people out there, and sometimes some stand-up comedians will perform. And one of the stand-up comedians saw me do a poem. I talked to him, and he was like, yo, I want you to direct my next two just little short comedic videos. And I was like, okay. I ain't know nothing about directing at the time. I was like, all right, well, let's just see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And I went, and I was like, yo, I'm not too bad at this. So he has, like, just two shorts about just little skits that he did. But that was, like, one of the first steps that I took into, like, directing out there. And I love directing. I love directing and casting. Those are the two things that I like doing.
Nice.
And acting is, like, scary. I'm going to be acting in the Courtney video because I'm going to be Courtney. But acting is scary. But it's probably like where I should go down the road to get me into the direct, so that I can open the opportunity to direct and stuff because I have like a big personality and stuff like that. And I just have a genuine love for acting. But yeah, I got those projects coming out. And I actually trying to be like you guys, me and my friend Chandra, we're going to start a podcast.
Hey,
we're going to, it's called Yo to Yurt. So, you know, yo, and then there's yurt. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're talking about the two coasts coming together because she's from Arizona. So it's pretty similar to you guys' format. Not particularly a specific topic that we're talking about, just conversation about different topics. So that's my
So you biting our shit?
Hmm?
So you
So what? Come again? What?
I plead the fifth.
Pretty similar concept, you know. Not exactly what you guys talk about, but pretty similar.
No, I
mess with you, man.
No, because I fuck what y'all do.
Yeah,
I fuck
with y'all do. Thank you.
And I know I'm glad that you guys did that. Because I remember when we used to just talk shit when you guys were RSMs.
For hours.
I'm supposed to be working. Yeah. I was a manager. And I'm supposed to be leading my team. I'm downstairs talking about wrestling and movies with y'all.
Yeah, I got to be here. I could do this for days.
Oh, there's my boy, Kev. And we would just talk. And people want to hear that. And especially like in like Cali, when you're stuck in traffic for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shit. Or like you're so encompassed into a bubble that you know, sometimes you don't have that click that other people have.
So yeah.
If you feel like you can be a part of a conversation, there's like a piece that comes to that. And like when you have a specific topic, you kind of stay stagnant a lot of the times. Like you just like, okay, we're gonna talk about relationships again. Okay, how many times can we talk about black issues and stuff like that? Like I'm very, very, very pro black, but I can talk about Pokemon. Yeah. I can talk about relationships, I can talk about anything. So that's coming up soon. New podcast with me and my girl Chandra.
Dope, man. 2019 is gonna
be. And I'm gonna do more vlogs too. So I've been talking a lot more on Instagram and I know some people been listening. Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna do this more often then.
Nice.
So it's all about finding something that lands. Because I at work, when I'm supposed to be working, I'm listening.
He working.
Yeah. When I'm, you know, you listen to Pandora and stuff like that. Yeah. You listen to Pandora, I'm listening to interviews, constantly listening to interviews, constantly watching what people in the business are talking about and this and that. And like one of the interviews I was watching, like a lot of stand-up comedians don't like the new generation comedians, the new Instagram social media comedians, because they feel like they didn't put in the work to get as much credit as they get. And I'm like, you don't understand. At the same time, there's like 100 million people on Instagram. You got to figure out a way to get.
You're not adapting.
You got to figure out a way to get 100,000 people to look at your profile. You know how hard that is? Like, if you have 1 million followers, you had to work to get to that. And I'm trying to apply that work ethic to what I'm doing. That's why I'm trying. I'm doing so many different things because I'm just trying to see what sticks. And, you know, I'm multi-talented, you know, not to sound arrogant, but I can do a lot of different things. So why not do it?
Yeah.
And then I'll watch how Issa moves, and Issa will wear people's stuff in her shows. She'll wear, like, you know, either black owned or just t-shirts and her stuff, or she'll have independent artists in her shorts. I'm like, oh, that's smart. I'm gonna do that. So like the Loudest Film, the Loudest Noise, I'm short, it features a lot of music, and every music that's being played is independent artists that I know that I'm like, I'm gonna play their stuff. Cause like, one, I want to give I want to give dope artists platforms, because that's all I'm about. But two, it's like, oh, my stuff is in so and so stuff. They're gonna repost it. They're gonna do this and that. The shirt that the girl's wearing in the short is my friend's t-shirt line. Yeah. So it's like you gotta utilize the resources around you to build up your platform.
Yeah.
So that I'm constantly doing that. I'm constantly watching Issa Rae. I'm constantly every time Kevin Hart has an interview, I drop everything and listen to it. Mm. That man is incredibly. We talk about people who break outside the box. This man is a stand-up comedian with a sneaker deal.
Yeah.
Like,
I think he was the first comedian.
Boy, sound like an athlete.
Yo. Because you don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. From something simple. Something just like posting all the time. That's how it started, though. He just posted all the time that he loved to run. Mm-hmm. And he would run and run all over the place. And then Nike latched on to that.
Mm-hmm. Social media is an incredibly powerful tool. Like, it's incredibly. It's a tool. It's like any other tool. Like, you can use a hammer to hit someone over the head with, or you can use the hammer to build a house. It's all about how you use the tool. It's the same thing with social media. You can come up with some dumb stuff or like that, or you use it to like make yourself isolated, or you could build a platform off of that. If I keep doing videos and building brands and stuff like that, the next thing you know, somebody's gonna hit me up, yo, wear my shirt please, for free. For free. Like, nah, like, but Now, eventually, you could build your brand up in which people will pay you to wear their stuff. Like, it's a very powerful tool that you just got to stay consistent with. In this day and age, there's no excuse to not do your own thing. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you want to do a podcast,
the resources are readily available to you to like get it all out.
That's what I'm saying. If you want to do a podcast, go do a podcast. That's why when people tell me their ideas, I don't shun their ideas, because I'm like, if that's what you want to do, then I'll tell you, you got to be out here working. You got to be out here consistently fighting. Because that's what I'm literally every day. That's what I'm just, I'm out here. If I'm not networking, I'm writing something. If I'm not writing something, I'm watching film. And if I'm watching film, I'm not watching it for, it's to the point where I'm not watching stuff for entertaining anymore. I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to like, oh, so how did they come up with this? Like, I want to do a thriller. I want to do a horror. I really want to do a horror. I really want to do a thriller. Because I just want to. So I'll watch old thrillers. Or Jordan Peele talks about how he used to watch The Shining. And he'll talk about all the films that he watched that gives him inspiration. I'm like, all right, if it inspires him. Because he came out with Get Out. And that Us trailer, have you seen that Us trailer? I was like, oh, he came up with this. And if you could come up with that, I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to come up with that too. I'm going to be out here watching whatever you watch so I can understand where you're coming from so I can build my own stuff. Because I don't want to be a comedian. I don't want to do funny stuff. I want the same way you think of Martin Scorsese or Steven Spielberg, I want you to think of me the same exact same way. Because we're capable of making great stuff like that too. That's why I'm very critical of all movies. Rather, like, because, you know, sometimes you see a black movie and like you feel a little compelled to like make it hyper than what it actually was. Like, yeah, you know, it was great. It wasn't that great. Like, because I know we can make stuff like Get Out. I know we can make stuff like Straight Outta Compton. I know we can make stuff that is like, like Creed 2 was fantastic. Have you seen Creed 2?
I've not. Only seen the original. I still gotta
make sure you eat several salads before you see Creed 2, because
you're gonna make me feel like shit.
You're gonna regret every donuts, every bad decision. He's ripped in that movie, but his acting definitely went up. The storytelling by Ryan Kruger definitely went up. Like, it was but I know we can make dope stuff. I know we could create some stuff. That's why I'm very just, you know, rigid on it too. But, you know, trust the process.
Word. Damn.
Yeah, man, I'm tapped.
Yeah.
When are we getting these shorts?
The loudest noise is gonna be by next week.
Okay. Oh,
by next week. I've released a little preview for it, and we're editing. So what goes on is that my DP, you know, I say DP now, director of, I think it's photography. I don't actually know what that means. But he films, he edits. I send him feedback. So he films, he edits. I'm like, okay, do this, change that, blah blah blah. Because one of the hardest things about film. Is for me is that I don't know the language, so I know what I want you to do. I know exactly what. Put the camera right there. Zoom in a little bit. Like, go like this. Like, that's what I'll say. He's like, oh, you want a close up, nigga? Whatever it is, just do that. Whatever. So I have to learn the language. So before I moved to Cali, I was like, yo, where's the videographer? Where's the videographer? Where's the cinematographer? No, people say DP. I'm like, oh, I got to say DP. So a lot of times it's a communication thing with my DP. Is like, I don't know what I want you to do. I just know what I want it to look like. And eventually he's very patient. Really, he's a really cool young kid. Alexis, really cool, you know, Timeless Projects, gotta shout him out. Really cool, humble dude who's like very patient with me because he knows that I don't know the language, but we work really, really, really well together. Him and his brother Angel.
And you're the director.
I'm the director and the creator.
Yes, yeah, short. I was on a friend was working on a short film, so I was like
humble
on
brat.
The set. No, I didn't do anything. I was a script supervisor. It's the easiest job on the set.
It is.
So, but no, it really is. But it's good because I didn't really know what goes into a set. So it's interesting. Looking at the dynamic between the director and the DP, because they clash, because the director has his vision, but then the DP has like notes, and like it's a really collaborative, and you really see like how you get to the vision you want. It was just interesting to see, and it really makes you think about the way things are shot. How is this shot? This is just interesting.
There's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like
scenes take hours.
Although I don't have as much film experience, I have a lot of experience everything else. So I have experience when I was at St. John's working with people who are older than me, and I was the manager.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a certain level of respect that you have to establish without being disrespectful, without being belligerent, without being pretentious.
Mm-hmm.
And I carry those skills with me. I carry those skills with everything I do. So I may not know the language, but I know how to work with people.
Yeah.
I may not know the language, but I know how to communicate. I know how to, you know, get you motivated. So I just utilize that. But there's a lot of stuff that goes, like, a lot of stuff that goes into it, especially when I was at that Mozzie video, when it's like a big production thing.
Yeah.
Whoo.
I can only imagine.
Everyone has a job, and like, everyone is very passionate about their job. That's something I'm realizing. Like, they're very passionate about their position. The audio guy, he could talk about audio all day. Mm-hmm. He or she can talk about audio all day. The DP, the one who's on the camera, they could tell you about every camera there is. The director, they're all very passionate about what they do, which is cool. And that's what brings about an entire piece. When you're doing independent films, you got to put on multiple hats. I'm the director, the producer, the casting, and like, sometimes I'm holding the camera. Like, mm-hmm. you got to get it done. But there's a lot of work that goes into it. But I love it. I love doing it.
It really makes you understand why end credits, especially for like multi-million dollar
so
films,
damn long.
Or so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Like, there's just a lot of hands, a lot of eyes, just a lot of people investing into that project, and it just makes me appreciate movies a lot more too. You see movies at a different lens. You just do. Like, it's kind of like going to the Marvel movies when you know the comics versus people who are just like, oh, I heard Black Panther's in it. Like, they just showing up. Like, when you understand movies or even sports, like when you watch sports, you watch what you know from a different lens. So I'll watch a movie and everyone loves it. I'm like, it was all right. Because they could have did this more. They could have changed that. They could have did this. I'm watching. I can predict what's going to happen in a movie because I understand what's going to happen with the character, what they're trying to do and stuff like that. So it's something I've always loved. I'm just happy that I'm actually pursuing it and not running from it.
That's dope, bro.
That's so dope, man.
I spent a long time running from it. That's why I got them degrees and all that. You know, I mean, no regrets, but this is what I want to do.
Shit, man. That's dope, man.
Yeah,
thank you so much for
no problem,
the podcast, man.
I'm proud of you guys, man.
California, you, the tamer now.
Swing back, Brooklyn, back in town. Don't you ever disrespect
to the death?
To the death. I die, baby.
I'm pussy.
I'm pussy. That thought that goes through my mind.
One last question: you touch any wrestling events when you're out there?
I went to Survivor Series.
Oh, okay.
I went to Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw. It's a little different.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in wrestling, it depends on where you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Chicago is, like, rowdy. Or, like, Philly is rowdy. They're like, man, you know, we're here to have
Cali will act, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, this is cool.
I did it.
Yeah,
I did it.
I was yelling. I was embarrassing myself. And they're like, it was me and this other guy, me and him just going back and forth. We had a good time.
You texted us. Yeah, that was a good event. That was a fire-ass Survivor Series.
It was all right. It was cool.
The main event, though, was good.
Who was in
Brock
the main
and
Daniel Bryan. It was all right. It was right. I liked your Jarrell's head is just going back and forth.
Yeah,
I feel like the women's wrestling really needs to get the push. Like, it just, because it's just more entertaining than anything else out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that they're doing, it's way more into, like, that Charlotte, that wasn't that Survivor Series, that was a TLC.
The triple Charlotte, threat?
Triple threat match?
Yeah.
Was crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're jumping off ladders, dive, like, it was better than most of the matches that come out, and like, they have better storylines. I don't like what they're doing with Naomi. I don't like what they're doing, like, where they're trying to give it, like, they're trying to bring back that edgy stuff where the women are like, half dressed, like, no, let them wrestle.
Yeah.
Let them go out here because they kill it. They doing better than the guys. The guys is corny right now. I only like, I can't even tell you who I like. I like Bray Wyatt, but he hasn't been there in a while. Finn Balor is definitely going to be the Demon King this weekend.
No, he can't because he can't lose, and he's going to lose. To Brock, he's going to lose.
He's not going to lose.
All right.
I'll put money on it.
All right.
$10.
All right. I got a Venmo.
He's not going to lose. He's going to win. He's going to shock the world.
All right.
Y'all got because I haven't been watching the NFL. So, but who's
I was actually going to ask you about your LA Rams.
No. See, yo, they go hard for the Rams. Like, how long the Rams been in LA?
2 years, 3 years.
2 years? Oh, they
don't have three. I don't think three.
This is the second season out there. Nah, two. This is their third one. I think this is their third season.
I mean, the more successful you get.
I do want to point out that I mean, ever since I moved to LA, you know,
they started with it.
LeBron went to the Lakers. You know, Rams started doing better. You know, I think the Dodgers
Katama did well. That, so they didn't have to go through that.
I'm not saying Katama did that, but
that shit, like, nah, Hove did that.
Run me a check real quick. Like, no, it's they go hard, bro. Mm-hmm. Like they go hard. There's hard. Cowboy fans out there, yeah. And hard LA fans.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
You won't be hearing from them for a while.
They got humbled.
Yeah.
Who's in? Is it the NFC division?
Yeah, Saints, Rams,
Saints, Rams,
Saints, Rams,
and then the main event.
Oh, I heard the Chiefs have been doing real well.
Yeah, they looking real good.
But Bill and Tom. Bill and Tom, still Bill and Tom.
Yo, you know, I hate Tom Brady with the severe passion.
We plotted on him last week and regretted it. So you know what we did? Double back. Up.
Going against them again.
But the thing is, when I saw Tom Brady on the treadmill on Instagram listening to Many Men.
Yeah, I was like, he different.
Y'all asses in trouble.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Because I remember being
a kid. Oh, he a psycho now.
With a very sinister smile, too.
Yeah, I remember being a kid listening to Many Men like niggas was after me. So I knew the mentality of listening to Many Men. He gonna do some damage. Nah,
every time he talks, I'm scared. He volunteering that. Yeah, I know y'all think we suck. You never talk like the what? Oh, no. But hey.
Yeah.
He in a new space now.
New Tom.
I hope it's a good game. I mean, I still haven't been watching, but I'm probably gonna watch that Bronna versus.
If you go out on Sunday, you might die, so you should just stay inside. It's gonna be that cold.
It's Monday or Sunday?
Sunday and
Monday.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah, you got a doubleheader, yeah.
Sunday, well, I ain't checking a minute, but last time I checked, it was a high of 40, low of 4. That's a drastic drop.
That don't make no sense.
And then Monday's supposed to be a high of 9, low of 3.
See, that's why when people in Cali say they cold, I legit get upset. I'm like, you don't know what cold is.
I get upset.
they're like, oh, it's a sweater. They have a sweater on. It's okay. A little brisk outside.
Try a sweater and a jacket and a fleece.
They won't see me on Monday. I ain't stepping outside.
Oh, no.
Oh, you working on Monday?
No.
I was about to say.
I'm a force of delivery, man, too.
I was about to say. I ordered some groceries. I feel sorry for that Fresh Direct man.
I hope you at least tip him, like, a little bit.
Of course. Uh-huh. Of course. You got to give.
Who do you think I am?
You got to give back. God bless me. I bless them.
How much you going to tip them, though?
I'm not putting that on the can. Come on. That's not in the audio. That's between me and God.
Because I know y'all.
I'm thinking what percentages.
Me and God.
I know y'all. Mr. Krabs over here.
Listen.
And Terry Crews.
I may regret what I put in. I might add something on to it.
You may add a little.
Inflation ain't about to fuck my life. Yo, real quick. My barber texted me and said that her rates are going up. I said, listen, how much it costs now? It used to be $15 to get a haircut, right?
20?
And I was always giving her 20. Always.
Oh, so now she don't get no tip.
Always blessing her. I said, how much it going up to? She said 20. I was like, I said, okay, cool. In my mind, I'm like,
that don't got nothing to do with me.
You still get that same 20 mm-hmm. I've been giving you. I've been blessing you over. Mm-hmm. And I went to get my shoe shined the other day. It's $3 to get your shoe shined. Right, and I always give them $3 tip, right? Mm-hmm. It went up to 4. I said, you still getting this sick.
Yeah, man.
Take this up with your boss. Like,
you taking money out of your pocket.
Inflation ain't about to fuck my life.
You raise
I got a
your
budget.
Rates.
But you know, haircuts in Cali is like, you lucky if you find something for 25.
What? Ooh.
Haircuts in Cali is you lucky if you find something for 25.
That's when you gotta learn how to cut your own shit.
I'm not. You see some of these rates in the city.
Yo.
Like, y'all not even black. 30. 35.
Just before tip.
And I'll just put the hot towel on you. They thank you at a spa. I'm good.
That's cool.
I don't need all that.
Yeah, just give me that shake.
It's 15 a stretch in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Give me some scissors. Yeah, I'll handle them.
I'm good, man.
No, it's like 20. It's $25.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I find spots that will get you for 20, but you got to go to like. I mean, I already don't trust non-hood barbers. Like,
yeah.
If they're not. I need you to like cut before like your life was at the line. Like, I need that. Like, I don't, if you're not in the hood, I don't really like going.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got to go deep in like the crevices of the hood to get like a $15, $20 haircut. But for the most part, they're like $25, $30. So I know one guy used to pay $50. And I used to see his hair. That wasn't $50, brother.
Nigga said, And I used to see his hair.
That wasn't $50, brother. That's a solid $17
for a haircut.
$50. You look like the same nigga.
Damn. So he pussy. Yo.
$50.
That's a fact. $50. I want to come out the chair feeling myself.
I need to look like a brand new person.
Yeah.
For $50.
Transform. Not just, yeah, no, yeah, this is cool. This is not, yeah, this it's good, right? Yeah.
No. I need to be in a chair for an hour. $50.
I need to look like that dude from Bird Box that was on Everyone. Like, or I need to look like Michael Ealy, a brand new person for $50.
$50 when a nigga got to do the lineup and then look, step back, brush your shit,
take out the fucking
do it again,
protractor yeah. and shit. The root.
All right. Nigga, yeah, that's 90 degree angle.
My
right there.
Hairline better be crisp,
nigga.
For $50, you better be able to cut stuff on the.
That sound like a monthly subscription.
That's
nigga.
What I'm
I better
saying.
Get as many haircuts as I want this.
Yo,
month.
It's they do it a lot out there. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, but I know some people who like they'll pull up to your house. That's another business too. Like that's really big out there.
That's
like,
pretty convenient.
They'll come to you. It's expensive. Like a home visit sometimes is like $100.
Yeah, I saw some shit like that on IG.
Cool.
The nigga like he was doing some good cutting, but
do you sweep up the hair when you leave?
I'll just walk, nigga. I'm fine. I'll just walk.
That's perfectly yeah. fine. Mm-hmm. And there's one lady out there. She's it's like $40, and her haircuts be crisp. I just don't got $40 haircut money, so I'm just not. I'll never find out how crisp it is.
I don't care how crisp it is, my nigga. We good. If you fuck up, I'll just brush it down till it grow back.
For $40, you bet not fuck up anything.
What? You better pull a rule out for real on my shit. You better be cutting on the line.
Yo. And then now my gym membership is like, that's the most I've ever paid for a gym. It's like $50.
Nigga, You think I got Planet Fitness out there?
They do. I just don't like, I never like Planet Fitness. Because where I'm at, it's like, they're there to work. Mostly because it's expensive. But they out here, nobody's fooling around, no one's nothing like that. You got a pool. We have a big boxing ring in the middle of the gym.
Bougie.
Yo, that's the only time I feel bougie. I'm not gonna lie. When I go to my when I see like new people, I'm like, who is this? Planet Fitness.
Oh we're just letting anyone now. Letting anyone in.
They got smoothies. They've been scouted.
They do buy 1 month, get 1 month free.
They got like a whole smoothie menu and stuff. Smoothies be lit, bro. I mean, you got to pay for it, but smoothies be dope. Like, I love that gym. But I got hooked up, though. Like, I met the guy. You got to be a good person to people. I got there talking to him, and like, he said his last name was like Shabazz. And I was like, oh, Shabazz? Oh, this guy, like, he Muslim. He one of the Nation of Islam type dudes. He like Malcolm. Let me just keep talking. Hey, brother. Salaam alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Oh, and like he hooked me up. Gave me a little discount and everything like that. So I was like, all right, I'll take it. But I love the gym. It's a really cool thing. That's the most expensive thing I paid for, though. Everything else was like, I saw that Netflix was increasing their monthly subscription.
Yeah, I know.
I sent out text messages immediately. Said, your free ride is up. Here's my Cash App. I need you to pay me that $2. Because, yeah, $10? Oh, whatever it's going to go to? No.
Yeah, nigga, I'm funding Netflix for the fam right now.
Do you have multiple profiles on yours?
Yeah. We maxed out.
Yeah. I'm on my brother's, but he's on a phone bill that he doesn't contribute to, so.
It balances out. I'm out here funding Netflix for the niggas, scales are Spotify. Tipped.
It's not a Thanos where everything's equally balanced, but
yo,
we'll get there.
Are you excited?
Say less.
Are you excited?
Come on now.
Yo, are you excited,
and
bro?
That teaser was kind of weak. Sold me enough.
Yo.
I didn't even need it.
Yo.
They could have just rehashed footage from Infinity War.
I need to. When I saw Infinity War on Netflix, I went crazy.
Woo, I watched that over the holiday break.
Press play immediately. And then when you watch Infinity War, you got to watch that first couple of minutes where Hulk thought he was bad. He like he came out and he was like, yo, what up? And then the guy said, let him have his fun.
He got humbled.
Looking like Tyson back in the 90s,
He ain't been back on road since.
Yo, Hulk, we need you. No. I'm pussy. Like, nah. I'm not. Yo, Endgame. Yo, 2019 is a big year.
Yeah, that's in April. That's going to be right there.
The movies that are coming out in 2019 are crazy. Like Us is coming out, Endgames, Captain Marvel, Glass. I'm really excited to see Glass. I'm really excited to see Glass because I like the concept. But it's a big year.
Yeah,
I can't wait, bro.
All right, too much silence.
All right.
Nah, man, thank you for coming on the podcast, man. Yeah, make sure you tell people where they can find you at again.
Oh, my Instagram is my name, KETAYMA. Mm-hmm. Make sure you follow me so you can see my upcoming projects, podcasts, vlogs, and short films.
All that good stuff, man. Make sure you guys check out all his stuff. Very talented. We've got the 4 shorts coming out.
Yep.
Tell me, what's the what you put out last year? Hero versus Lois.
Yeah,
y'all go check that out.
Yeah,
that's real fire. Like y'all go check that out. So that's like the introduction to Katayma. That's where you start.
I'm glad you said that. That's the intro.
That's where you start. I'm just
gonna keep getting better and better and better and better and better. And every time I film, I learn something new.
Exactly. You start there, then you watch the 4 shorts that are coming out, and you good. You follow from that point.
Yep. I can't wait, bro.
As always, guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. Please make sure you guys rate, share, subscribe. It's essential. Check out the videos on IGTV and YouTube. Mm-hmm. Kev don't do this shit for free. He don't do it for free. Kev said, no, these niggas think I'm cutting up for free. Nah, I mean, make sure you guys go support that. Rate, share, subscribe. Until next time, it's cooling out.
Stay cool.
You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. You cool, I'm cool. We coolin' out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.